evening, church. If you ever follow the Lord, you'll know one thing, that the Lord likes to take us out of our comfort zones. So my record before was about 6 hours notice to do a message, and this one beat it by an hour and a half. So Jimmy's not feeling well, and he told me about 5 o'clock that if I had something that to go ahead and do it, because he wasn't feeling good. And so we're going to see what the Lord does tonight. But there's something that I have always realized, and something that I firmly believe in, that if you're willing to want to hear from God, He'll speak to you. Amen, church? The pastor really doesn't have to say much if you're willing to hear from God. If you're wanting to hear from the Lord, He'll speak to you. He's faithful. He always will talk to us. And I believe the Lord can use one word to change a life. One word to change a life. Remember that when you talk with the people that you know, and your families and your loved ones, know that if you obey the Lord and you do the will of God, He can use one word to change somebody's life. He's the one that saves. He's the one that's great. He's the one that's awesome. He's the one that's the King, the Lord of Lords. He's the one that saved your life. He's the one that's redeemed you, delivered you. Oh, wow, is He an amazing God? Amen, church? Amen. He is so great. He has done so much for us. He loves us. He cares for us. He showed that by dying on the cross for us. Taking His one and only Son to the cross to die for you and I. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve how great and awesome Christ was, but oh wow, did He love for us. Oh wow, did He care for us. He loved us so much that He died for us. He is so great, and He's done so much for this church. He's done so much for you. Amen, church? Has the Lord not done a lot for you and your life? Think about maybe your family. Do you have a job? Do you have a place to stay? A roof over your head? Sometimes these are the things we take for granted every day. But there's lots of people that don't have these things. The Lord provides more than I can even imagine. Sometimes I wake up and I wonder, I said, Lord, I praise You for the things that I don't even see that You're going to do today. You know, the Lord's doing things in your life today that you might not ever see. You might not ever know. You might pass it by and wonder and think. And we think, man, is the Lord doing anything in my life? Is the Lord doing anything in my life? There's too many Christians living without joy. No joy in their life. If you're a believer in Christ, you have every reason to rejoice. Amen, church? You have every reason to rejoice in the awesome glory that Christ has given you, His Holy Spirit, that He's given you eternal life in heaven, that He's given you a relationship with the Father. You should have so much joy that the Heavenly Father gives you joy. He gives you peace. He gives you love. He gives you patience. He gives you self-control. He gives you all these things because He cares for us. He loves us. He gave us His Holy Spirit. So let me ask you a question, church. Are you like a lot of Christians, and have you lost your joy? Have you lost the joy of your salvation? Have you lost the joy in the Lord? Has Satan stolen your joy? I wonder if non-believers, if the lost people see Christians today and they're down in the dumps at all times. Don't get me wrong, church. I understand life is hard. Life happens. It's not easy. Sometimes it's sad. Sometimes it's just hard. And the Lord cares for us. He loves on us. He comforts us. He does the thing that only He can do. But listen to me. There's too many Christians down in the dumps, not realizing that they've been saved. They've been lifted up. That they have victory over the grave. They have so much joy. They should have so much joy in the Lord, knowing all the things that He's done for us. Knowing all the things that He's done for you in your life. We're going to be in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, but you know how I love to start with a psalm? Psalm 16 says, Keep me safe, my God, for in You I take refuge. I say to the Lord, You are my God. Apart from You, I have no good thing. I say to the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods and take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in the pleasant places. Surely I have delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life, and you fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen. Church, God is so great. He is so wonderful. He keeps us safe. He is apart from him, we have no good thing. You can't have a good thing without the Lord. He gives all good things. And it says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Oh, he is the great, awesome counselor. There's no one who counsels like God. There's no one who gives advice like God. If you need advice in your life, seek the one who knows all things. Amen, church. I'll praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Oh, wow, what a wonderful thing. And it says in verse 9, therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. David here is saying, you, Lord, are so great that you won't even let me die. And listen to me, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will never die. But you have eternal life in Christ and Christ alone. In Christ and Christ alone, you have everlasting life. You will not be abandoned to the realm of the dead, because Christ has saved your life. Oh, wow. What an awesome thing to rejoice. Amen, church. What an awesome thing to be joyful about. Oh, wow. Does all my problems seem to be low in the face of God giving me salvation in life? When I think about the problems, and there's lots of problems, when I think about the problems in my life, they seem oh so low at the awesome glory of God who stands in front of me and calls me a child of God. Oh, wow, it's hard to be sad when I think, oh, Lord, you call me a child of God. Lord, you've redeemed my life. You've delivered my life. We need a relationship with God. We have to have a relationship with God. And the last verse of Psalm 16 says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Oh, wow, no one gives joy like the Lord. If you need joy in your life, you won't find it anywhere but the Lord. There's a lot of people probably in this room that feel low, downcast. You know, there's people scattered throughout the Bible that felt the same thing. But it seemed like what they felt always followed by the end, oh, wow, God, you are so good. Oh, wow, God, you are so faithful. You are so good and so amazing. We have to have a relationship with the Lord. If you want to make it through this life, you have to have a relationship with God. And you can only have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Amen, church? Amen. It is God who brings joy. Only one who brings it. He brings joy, and he gives it so freely. Doesn't cost us anything. He's willing to give you joy in your life. We need to praise him. When's the last time you've praised the Lord? Think about it deep for just a moment. Truly, when's the last time you've thanked the Lord for what he's done in your life? It's easy to get through the grind of life. You get through this routine and there's routine in life, and you begin to forget what the Lord's done in your life. Sometimes working here at the ministries, I'll be honest with you, church. Sometimes working at the ministries, and today I was outside in the heat pushing sand on the patio. I did that all day, sweat pouring. My wife was disgusted because I had a sweat rag with me. Sometimes it's hard to be joyful in that moment. Sometimes it's hard to be joyful at work when you're in the grind. Sometimes it's difficult. But that doesn't change the fact that God is good. It doesn't change the fact that God saved my life. Amen. Amen. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord. Because when you take your eyes off the Lord, oh wow, does it seem like the joy fades away. Every time I take my eyes off the Lord and I put it on anything else, wow, it seems like I get more upset at the little things. Little things bother me more and more. He keeps us firm. He keeps us firm. And He doesn't lead us astray. That's why you should be joyful, church. You serve a God that wants you to have the best life. Amen? He wants you to have the best life, and He knows that the only way you're going to have the best life is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, wow, do I know that more and more every day. More and more every day, I know that the Lord wants me to have a good life through Jesus Christ. And He tells me often, you can't have a good life without Christ. Without Christ. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. It says, now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When He saw them, He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked Him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then He said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. See, we see this moment where Jesus is healing these 10 men. He sees these 10 men with leprosy. Leprosy is a horrible disease. It's a skin disease. And most of the time, if you had leprosy back then, they would push you outside of the city. You would be in a community with people who had leprosy. Oh, wow, it's pretty hard to be joyful in that moment. People were sick. They had their leprosy. They had these 10 men. And it says He was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met Him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Oh, wow, were we there at one moment? One moment in our life, we say to the Lord, Lord, have pity on us. Help us. Save us. And oh, wow, is He so gracious to give us salvation. And it says, when He saw them, He said, go show yourselves to the priests. They're not even healed yet. And as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus says, do what you're supposed to do. Follow the law. Go to the priest and show them that you've been healed. And these 10 men, oh, wow, what an amazing thing. They're healed. They no longer have leprosy. But oh, wow, what an interesting thing. In verse 15, it says, one of them who saw he was healed came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked Him. You see, He healed 10 men and only one thanked Him. Many Christians are the same way. 10 men were healed by Christ. Not just this one. 10 men with leprosy were healed. But only one came back and thanked Him. I'm sure those other men were probably so excited to be healed, so excited to be back in the city. Oh, wow, I would be. But this one man thought it was so important that he thanked the one that healed him. When's the last time you thanked the Lord for your salvation? When's the last time you thanked Him for saving your life? I pray, church, this is repetitive enough this evening. Because I think this really stops a lot of believers today. Stops them from doing the will of God because we've stopped thanking God. It isn't because if we thank God, then God will do something. Many times, church, we lose our joy because the world steals it. We lose our joy because life steals it. We lose our joy because we allow Satan to steal it. But listen to me, we need this joy in our life to continue running the race. We're all supposed to run the race. We all have a race to run in this life. Oh, I pray you want to run it well. I pray you want to run it well, and at the end, you hope that the Lord stands before you and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Oh, I pray you want that to happen. But it's so hard to happen if you do not have joy in your life. If you don't remember what the Lord has done. If you don't remember that He saved your life. If you don't remember that He's given you love and grace and mercy and forgiveness in your life. It's so hard because life is hard. It beats you down over and over again. But oh wow, it is so important for you to know that the Lord cares for you. It is so important for you to remember that Christ loves you. It is so important that you remember that you have joy in your life. And if you need it, God is always willing to overflow it. He's always willing to give it. It's just so important not to allow the world to steal the joy in your life. And rejoicing gets us through the hardest of times. The hardest of times in our life. It is rejoicing that gets us through those moments. Joy produces in us perseverance. This is what James says. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, that you face trials in your life. Because in all that, it produces perseverance in your life. I always wonder, you see these Christians that maybe are more happier than you. There are more Christians that have more joy than I do. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you get jealous in your life. How does it seem like that person can have so much joy in the hardest of their times? Man, I would have been wrecked if that happened to me. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like you want the joy so bad? Can I tell you, church, it's not so hard to get. The well of joy is not that far away. His name is Christ, and if you have Him, He lives inside of you. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is so wonderful. We have love and joy, peace and patience and all those things. You have access to joy in your life. Why are we not using it? We sit with our heads down. Woe is me. Woe is me. Rather than looking up to the One who saved your life. Reestablishing the joy in your life is so important. Why? Because if there's lost people in your life, why would they want to go to somebody that makes them feel the same way? What do I mean by that? If you act like you've not been redeemed, and you act like you haven't been delivered or forgiven in your life, why would you expect someone who needs that to come to you? There's no greater blessing in our life, really, than someone to come. Some of you have experienced, and it's such a wonderful gift that God allows us to be a part of, comes up to you and says, "Why are you so joyful?" Have you experienced that, church? Maybe you have. Why are you so joyful? You see, you're way different than everybody else. Why are you so joyful? And that's your opportunity to get to share who gives you the joy. Wow, I've seen God change a lot of people's lives by just that one interaction, because a Christian was willing to be joyful in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their pain. When a person in the world would never be joyful, that's when you should be joyful. Because just as David says, "You don't let me see decay, you don't let me go to the realm of the dead," we get to be a part of that. Because Christ has given us eternal life. We have no reason not to rejoice. We have no reason not to praise the Lord. I love this story here because it shows us how important it is to praise the Lord. How important it is to be joyful that you've been healed. 10 men had leprosy, but one. Oh, I pray this evening that you're like that one person, that one man with leprosy, that you fall at the feet of Jesus and you thank him for giving you eternal life. You fall at the feet of Jesus and you thank him for forgiving your sins. You fall at the feet of Jesus and thank him for allowing you to be a part of the family of God. Because we didn't deserve any of that. But because of the Lord's grace and his mercy, he's given it to us. Freely. Freely. You don't get anything in this world for free. But the Lord gave us something for free. But oh, did it cost him everything. But he did that for you and I. If you can't smile at the fact of that, listen to me, church, there's something wrong. If you can't have maybe just a smirk if you're going through some hard times, a smirk knowing that the Lord picked you and saved your life. Wow. Church, wow. Is he so great and so awesome? Amen, church? Amen. I love what Paul says here. I just want to read it as just an encouraging thing. In Philippians 4, Paul's in prison. He's chained up. If that was me, probably no joy. Sitting in a jail cell. It's not the jail cell that we have here today. You know, you're shackled up. You're chained up. It's miserable. Paul, in these chains, says, I think one of the greatest things. Paul says a lot of good things. But I really love this, and I think it's so important. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts in your minds, in Christ Jesus. Amen, church? Amen. One of the most powerful things I think he says in that whole thing is at the very beginning, and it's so important for our Christian walk. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul thought it was so important that he had to say it again. Rejoice, church. Rejoice. Rejoice in your heavenly Father. Rejoice in the fact that you're a child of God. Rejoice knowing that the Lord has picked you, that he loves you, that he redeems you, that he restores you, that he gives you strength. He has adopted you. He calls you children. He gives you grace. He gives you mercy. He gives you the awesome purpose in life. He gives you meaning in life. And he, listen to me, he gives you everlasting life. There's no reason for you not to thank him. He's given you all things. And I love what Psalms 126:3 says. The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. And listen to me, if you're a part of New Life Fellowship, oh wow, is that so true? The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy that he would allow us to be a part of Brokenness in Huntington. Praise the Lord for the ministries. Praise the Lord that he allows us to work, to let us be a part of something much greater than ourselves. Rejoice. Rejoice. Next time you go through a hard time, maybe you're going through it now, just tell yourself this one thing. Is the Lord good? There's something I say to Savannah every now and then. Sometimes she'll say it to me. But even if the Lord didn't give us what we wanted, is he not still good? Even if the Lord didn't answer us the way we thought, or helped us the way we thought he would, is the Lord still not good? Amen, church. Amen. He is still oh so good. We need more Christians living out their joy. I wonder what Huntington would look like if even just New Life would rejoice a little bit more, would praise God a little bit more. When's the last time you've praised the Lord? Have you lost it? Have you lost the joy of the Lord? Let's stand, church.